Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another good day to serve our good Father. Well, it's a rainy day outside, and we had to come inside, so welcome again to our home. Well, for the next few minutes, I want you to join with me in an illustration. Don't touch anything. Okay, let's get started again. Did anyone get just a little bit anxious in that silent wait? Perhaps you wanted to reach out for your controls to see if something happened, but in fact, everything was just okay. But when it comes to waiting, I honestly don't know a lot of people that enjoy waiting. Particularly when you don't know what's going on and you don't know how long the wait's going to be. Well, let me explain what we go through most of the time when we're waiting. First, we can wait for a short time, and for most of us, that's okay. We'll just sit and wait. And then if that goes on, then we begin to wonder, well, how long is this going to last? What's going to happen next? And then if we don't get any more information, then we start worrying. Did I hear right? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Or did I miss something? Then if it continues, we move from worrying to whining. I don't like this. This is just a waste of my time. And we stop waiting. Well, again, most of us don't do very good when it comes to waiting. But what if God leads us into a time of waiting and he doesn't tell us what it's for or how long it's going to be? Perhaps you found yourself in that situation. You see, I believe when God answers prayers, there's three answers that he gives us. First, well, he tells us yes. Well, that's what we want to hear. And then, unfortunately, sometimes he says no, and that's for another day. And there's a third one that he gives us, and it's wait. And when we wait, we can get a little anxious. Well, waiting is exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do. Just before he took flight and ascended back up to heaven. So what today we're going to do, we're going to go over to the Bible and we're going to look at that story and see what Jesus said. And we're going to see how the disciples responded to his instruction. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Help us as we kind of slow down a little bit. And look at this interaction between Jesus and his disciples and help us to learn about waiting on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, go with me to the first chapter of the book of Acts. This is Luke's record of what was going on. And Jesus gives his disciples some instruction. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You had heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So let's look again at what the disciples knew from the Lord's instruction. Go to Jerusalem, don't leave. The Holy Spirit's coming, and you just don't know when that's going to happen. But first, you must wait. I want you to think about it. Jesus had just told them that they were going to be going into all the world and preaching the gospel and leading folks to him. They were going to be his witnesses, but before they could get started, they had to go and wait. And wait. And wait. Now let me ask you, how long would you wait? Come on, let's be honest. How long would you wait? Let's go to verse 12 and 13. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that's called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All the disciples were in their upper room accommodation. Well, some say this was the upper room where Jesus had his last meal with them. And if this was the case, the memories of Jesus and what he did and said were all over the place. Perhaps the low table where they were all seated. And Jesus spoke to them and gave them the Lord's Supper. Perhaps the bowl that Jesus had used and the towel that he wrapped himself could be off in the corner somewhere. And the memories were just overwhelming about their Lord Jesus, who had just left them. But there was more than just the disciples in that room. Let's have a look and see who else was there. Verse 14. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So the disciples were there, some women were there, and this included Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Lord's half-brothers. They were all sitting around waiting, and remember, they didn't know how long they would be there. But then Peter stands up and he quotes some things from the book of Psalms and made a speech about replacing Judas. And that's what they did. And they chose Matthias to take his place. I would guess this would take a couple of hours. And then they waited. And they kept waiting. Day after day, they waited. How would you be doing right now? I want you to look at yourself as I have looked at myself. How would we be doing just sitting and waiting? Well, Luke gives some insight to how this upper room attenders were doing. He said that they were in one accord and devoted themselves to prayer. Let's look at that, one accord. And this is so important. They knew that they were waiting for something special, but they had no idea how long they were going to have to wait. But they did it together, no conflict, no agendas, no self-focus. They did it together, and then they just waited. Secondly, they were devoted to prayer. I think when you pray, and when you pray with your church family, then unity comes easy. You see, I believe that the closer that we get to the Lord, the closer we get to each other. But when we start focusing on ourselves, then division creeps in and separation begins. And that's always destructive. That's not what you want when you're waiting on the Lord. Okay, let's review what we've just looked at. First, the disciples are waiting. They're all in one accord, and they're unified, and they're devoting themselves to prayer. Well, as they were doing this, we all know what happened. God sends the Holy Spirit and sets every single one of them on fire for Jesus. What an awesome experience that would have been for the Holy Spirit to come on them and fill them. And it just seems like revival just exploded. But remember, they first had to wait, and they didn't know how long they had to wait. So, how do you and I do with our waiting? You see, I believe waiting is a big part for a real Christian life. No, things don't happen just like that. And we can't just claim it and bang, it's there. You know, I believe God allows us or asks us to wait for a purpose. But there's some particular things that all of us are waiting on right now. See, Jesus says he'll return, and we're looking forward to that. But now we're waiting. And Jesus said that one day he would make all things brand new. And boy, I'm looking forward to that. But not now. We're waiting. The Bible says that God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But first, we must wait. Perhaps you're praying for something, and you're just absolutely certain that God's going to say yes to that prayer. But then he makes you wait. Perhaps we as a church are praying for something or some things, and God has us in his waiting room. Well, how are we doing with our waiting? You see, waiting fights against our human nature, particularly in the culture where we are right now. Everything is hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get what we can and get it quickly and move on. I don't want to wait, I want it now. Most of us want what we want. And if we don't get it now, we get cranky. What do you think? I think we need to learn from the disciples and those women that were with them that there is a huge benefit in waiting in God's waiting room. Now, for the next few moments, I would like to show you what the Bible says about waiting. You'll discover that it's throughout the scriptures. David said in Psalms 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Again, we find waiting. And then James said in James chapter 5, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And then one of my favorite passages about waiting can be found in Isaiah chapter 40. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But," now watch this, "they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that's reserved for those who wait and trust. You see, there's great power in our waiting for God. In closing, I'd like to share just a couple more comments about our waiting. As I said before, most of the time when we wait, we begin to wonder, and then we worry, and then that turns to whining, and that's always counterproductive. May I suggest that when God places us in His waiting room and we're waiting, that we move to surrender and just say, Lord, I know, I'm just waiting on You. You know what You're doing. We just need to surrender to Him. And then let our surrender move to worship. So when we're waiting, let's follow that on through to worship. And when we begin to worship in the waiting room, we're showing God that we trust Him while we're waiting. Father, thank You, Lord, for this message from Your word. The disciples and the women that were with them had to learn to wait, and they did it with unity and with prayer. So, Father, teach us how to wait. And let us, as we progress through times of waiting, that we surrender to Your will, and then let that move through to worship and honor You, for You know what You're doing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.